Thank you for tuning in to the Bethel Podcast. At Bethel, we're all about relationship. So if you're in the Phoenix area, we'd like to invite you to one of our services. Please visit BethelChandler.com for more information. Now stay tuned for a message from Pastor Mike Gowans.
Last week we talked about our thoughts. We talked about how nobody speaks to us more than we do ourselves. Nobody will talk to you more than you talk to yourself. And our thoughts are very important because as you think, so are you. So are you. And Paul in Romans says, take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. And so the latest exit polls have shown that 7 out of 10 Americans are very concerned about the economy and inflation. I'm not sure that everybody voted their pocketbook. Throughout most elections in American history, people have said it's the economy, stupid. It's in that's what people vote. I'm not sure really what people were thinking this time, but I know that this is on people's minds. And this may be on your minds. In fact, the average American thinks about money 7 times a day. The average American thinks about money 7 times a day. And Jesus actually taught and instructed on the topic of money and possessions more than any other topic. So he had more sermon series on money than any other topic. So, why do we get so uncomfortable when a pastor or someone, a politician, talks about your money? Maybe it's because you've seen pastors, men of the cloth, try to manipulate you to give more of your money. Try to guilt you, shame you into giving more of your money away. Maybe some of you have experienced ministers that it seems as if they're asking you to give your money so that they can have bigger homes and automobiles and airplanes, right? I mean, I'm sure have all of us experienced that or at least heard of that caricature of a pastor or leader or evangelist at some point or heard somebody else talk about that. Yeah? Yeah. Yeah. So here's the deal. We're not going to guilt you. We're not going to manipulate you into giving. We always faith you into giving.
All right.
Okay? But let me just qualify that faith you into giving. We're not going to faith you into giving so that you can get more, so that you can be more greedy, right? It seems as if many have even taken biblical principles and truths to help you get all of the material things you can in this earth. Right? And that's, hey man, give more so you can get your own car, your own bigger house, right? Like it's, and here's the deal. We don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. For the Bible is very clear that you will reap what you sow. But the motivation for Christians, for us, is not give so we can get. Our motivation is to give out of love so that we can give more. Right? I'm giving so I can give more. Now, let me expose another lie that many have believed that, well, one day, when I get more, I'll give. No, you won't. Because Jesus says that if you're not faithful with the little, you will not be faithful with the much. And so, I want to talk to you about the Benjamins, okay? There's 10 of them here today. These are crisp and clean. They haven't been in many people's hands. But let me tell you something about worldly wealth. Manna. Not manna, but mammon. Worldly mammon, unrighteous mammon. Mammon. It talks. And there's a spirit attached to it. You know, you've heard, well, you know, money is the root of all evil. No, it's not. It's the love of money. And that is the spirit that's attached to money until you break it off. And that's what we're going to talk today, because your money talks to you. Says, man, you need more. You need to keep that for you. You need more. You're not going to have enough. It's going to run out. After you get some, you're like, I got to get more. Money talks. Because money has a spirit attached to it. Jesus said this, as we're going to see in a moment. Either you are a slave to money, or money is a servant to you. And there's only one way to not be a slave of money, is to give first to God. It's to give first to God. It's the only way you can break the spirit off of it. It's the only way you can clean your money, because it's dirty, because it has a spirit of the love of it. And you know it. You know it to be true. And even today, you're going, oh my goodness, I can't believe I came today to talk about my money. I'm not going to talk about it because we want more of it. I'm going to talk about it because I want you free from the love of it. I want you to no longer be a slave to this, but that this would be your servant. Amen? So turn your Bible with me and let's see what Jesus has to say about your money. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. For they neither sow nor reap nor gather in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? Which of you worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For all of these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. But, Oh, yes, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Let's pray. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we come before you. And Lord, I ask that you'd open up our hearts and our minds and our thoughts to think right about money, about possessions. Jesus, you care about us. This is why you have instructed us how to deal with money. You don't want us enslaved to money and to this spirit, this God of mammon. Lord, I ask that you would move through this message. Help me get out of the way. Open up our eyes and our ears to receive. Holy Spirit, move. Have your way. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. So at age 12, my dad taught me how to put God first in my finances by making me tithe. I had a little paper route, and we didn't get paid once a week or every other week. We got paid once a month. And then every 3 months, we got paid extra with tips. And it would have been easy to tithe every week, then once a month. And so this is how it happened in my house. This is how my dad taught me how to break the spirit of mammon off my money. And he did it at age 12, and I'm so grateful for that. Because most of my life, money has not enslaved me. Money has been my servant. I haven't managed money perfectly, but that spirit has been broken off of it. And I've told my money where to go versus my money telling me where to go. And it's not because I'm super smart or super strong, even though I am those. But it's not because of that I've been able to do it. It's been because of the grace of learning how to put God first in my finances. And there my dad would take the first 10 and we put it in an envelope, and we sat there on his bed and we prayed a prayer over that gift that we were going to take to church that Sunday. In that moment, I learned. And in that moment, I released the windows of heaven over my life. And now I wonder, what is my motivation to give? Is it because I want more of the windows of heaven open over me, or is it because I love Jesus? It's hard sometimes to tell because both are at work. I love Jesus, but you can't outgive God. You can't outgive him. It's amazing. The more I give, the more I receive so that I can give even more. And that's been the story of my life. And I know in that you have to be careful, because a greedy heart could go, oh, I'd like that in my life. I'd like that so I can get more. But God will test us. He'll test us, and you'll step out and you'll give, and all of a sudden your car will break down for no reason. And then you go, oh, Pastor, you told me I'd be blessed if I gave, and here we go. And the Lord tests you like you're testing him. What's your motivation? Are you giving to get? Are you giving to give? Knowing that God will meet every one of your needs. He'll fix your car. He'll provide. The righteous will never beg for bread. But here's the deal. You might be saved, born again, have your sins forgiven, but if you don't put God first in your finances, you're missing that righteousness. You're missing that right living. Doesn't mean you're not forgiven, aren't loved. It just means this money is still dirty. It's still got a spirit on it. That's all it means. It doesn't mean you as a Christian are cursed. It just means your money still might be. Not you, this money. And this money has a spirit. The spirit of Mammon. This was a Syrian god that originated in Babylon that Jesus is talking about. Mammon, worldly wealth, unrighteous Mammon, Manon. This is what Jesus is saying to us. Don't live for this. Don't be controlled by this. See, many think, oh, we're not under that tithing thing. This is like New Testament grace. Absolutely. You're not just limited to giving 10. You can give everything in the New Testament. Okay? See, this principle of giving and breaking this spirit off of your money goes back well before, hundreds of years before the law was given. Turn with me and we'll show you. In Genesis chapter 4, with the story of Cain and Abel. Now Abel kept flocks and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Verse 6, then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it. You must rule over this spirit on your money, or it will rule over you. You're not a slave. You are free. Your money does not have to control you. You can tell your money where it's going to go and how it's going to be used. And you release God's blessing over your possessions, over your finances. So I have $10 bills. Which one, if this is the increase in your life, through your job, through your investment, through a gift, which one of those $100 bills would be a tithe? The first one? Or the seventh one? Or the tenth? Which one of these? It's not just this one. It could be any of them. It's the first one that leaves your hands. That's the tithe. It's first. It's the first one that leaves. What's the first check that leaves your bank account? Is it SRP, APS, your mortgage company, your car payment? No. That's God's. It's the first. Jesus is talking about, you little faith, come on, don't be worried about this stuff? Why are you worried about money and possessions? But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all those things that you need will be given to you. See, when you put God first, that spirit is put under your feet. Until then, you're going to find yourself worrying. It's amazing, even the wealthiest of people who don't understand how to break that spirit off of their resources and money. What do they say about money? How much is enough? Just one more. Just one more. Because it's never satisfied. Because there's literally a spirit on it. Church, come on, you know it. You know how much you think about money. Or at least you know about how much other people think about money, right? I mean, it's constantly thought about. And people are worried right now of what might come. But not us Christians. Not us who put God first. No, God, man, you're going to take care of me. It doesn't matter what's going to come. I'm not going to worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's got enough to worry about. You know, I'm very grateful. I'm really grateful that I've never had to work for money. I know some of you, you have to, and you do. But I've never had to. Not because I haven't needed money. But because I've never had to choose a job or preach to get money. I've just never had to. I'm super grateful that I've traveled around the world and I've never had an expectation or a requirement that you need to pay me anything for me to come. Never made it a requirement that you filled the gas in my jet, because I've never had a jet, okay? Or my car. But isn't that real freedom? That, you know what, I don't have to work. I'm not coming to work. I'm not doing this job because I need the money. I'm doing it because it's my calling. It's my calling. And a worker's worth is wages. Amen? A worker's worth is wages. And I believe every Christian, we can get to that place. That we don't have to work a job because we need money. But we can work a job because it's our calling. It's our calling. And we feel God's pleasure when we're doing it. Amen? And I believe that's available for all of us. Years ago, we had started the church. We just stepped out. We didn't know where the resources were going to come. We didn't have any financial backing. We just had a few people that were crazy enough to say, we'll go with you, Pastor Mike. And in our living room, we started the church. And praise the Lord, we've never lacked. We've never lacked. We've always had enough. We've never had to go in debt. Hallelujah. Praise God. And there was a moment, though, that I got to just tell you that this money was talking to me. 15 years ago, the church was just beginning in its first year, and we'd always had enough, but there wasn't a massive abundance because we were constantly giving and sending money around the world, okay? And so a friend of mine who was in a marriage crisis flew me out to be with him and his wife, and we spent a couple days of urgent ministry And God moved, and then I needed to get back. I had a flight, and I needed to get back, and he just begged me, please stay. I need you longer. We need you longer. Would you just stay just one more day? And I'm like, man, I got a ticket. You're fine. We'll talk on the phone. We'll be okay. And then he goes, I'll give you $10,000 if you'll stay one more day. And I said, no, man, I'm not. But inside I was going, $10,000. One day? Like, I know I don't like marriage counseling, but I might endure it for $10,000 one day longer, okay? I mean, and then I'm like, the church, all the people that we're supporting, I mean, it would just be it was coming into Christmas time, it'd be like, Christmas bonus for the staff, all these things, they're racing around in my thoughts. And then I said, I'm not going to do it. No, I'll stay, but I don't want the money. But inside I wanted the money. He still gave me the money. Man, thank God for his forgiveness. But I have to admit, it felt dirty. It felt dirty. Because this has a spirit attached to it, church. But you can break that spirit off of it. And it's through giving. And giving worship. It's worship to God, and you break that off. You can break greed off of your life. And so your motivation is, I love God. I love him, and I'm doing it because I love him, and I have the joy of giving. I have the joy of giving, and I know God will take care of me. In fact, what he said is he'll open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. And Paul says, pressed down, shaken together, running over so you can go buy a new car, okay? No, so that you'll have the ability to give on every occasion that God leads you to. But you can't help it. The principle of, he said, your giving will cause God to press down, shaking together, run over on you. Your giving will. And you can go, well, wait a second, Pastor Mike, are you trying to manipulate me to give so I'll have running over? Running over so you can give on every occasion. That's the motivation. And yes, praise God, when he increases you, you get bonuses, you get to bless your family. And yes, God's not against your home. You know why I know that? Because he's making a home for you in heaven, okay? And God said this, that whatever you give, whatever you give up in this life, will be stored up for you in heaven. And another passage, it's not just for heaven, but he said that those that give up brothers and sisters and family and homes in this life will store for themselves both in this life and the next life. For sure, I know that many of the blessings I'm walking in today, I sowed a decade or two ago. That's just true. That's the way it works. As long as the earth exists, church, Genesis says, there will be seed time and harvest. So, when God gives you 10 Benjamins, don't eat them all. First, give him his first. And then go, God, how else do you want me to spend this? You want me to sow some more? Do you want me? What? It's yours. It's all yours. And that's all we're asking, even in this greater presence. You pray, God will speak to you. Obey. That's it. Amen? And you'll learn the joy of giving. And you'll learn that you can never outgive God. You can't outgive him. Look at the other place that Jesus talks about this spirit. And there's only three places this spirit is addressed, and it's addressed by Jesus. Jesus addresses this spirit, and it's a real spirit, you guys. It's real, and in fact, many times it's why people are so irritated. Now, I know you can jump quickly to the caricature of the evangelist who is manipulating people as he's getting a bigger jet and a bigger home. But church, that is not most pastors, and that is not this pastor. Okay? And so you have to not take the bait of Satan when it comes to money and think, oh, well, no, I'm not under that. No, you're missing it. You shouldn't look for how you can keep it. You should look at how you can increase it. Church, heaven is a place of abundance. There is no lack in heaven. So when you try to hold on to this, you have a poverty mentality. You have a scarcity mentality that you think there's only a limited number of these. Do you not know what our government just did? It just printed trillions of these. There is no scarcity of this. Now, it's not worth as much anymore, but there's no scarcity, you guys. Especially for us as Christians, we're not limited to the wealth of the world. We have the resources of all of heaven. Here's the thing, even if a famine comes, even if we see a downturn in our economy, what did God do with the people of God? In a time of famine, God blessed and increased Abraham. In a time of famine, God blessed and increased Isaac. So if shortage is coming, it's not for me it's going to be short. Not for you it's going to be short. I got too much stored up in heaven, okay, that I can make withdrawal. How do you get this into the heavenly bank account? Okay? It's called worship. It's give it to God. It's give it to God. You worship. And let me help you. Be generous on all occasions, but obey God to give. But there's a place throughout the assembly of believers from the beginning. You give it to God. It's not to your own bank account that you can go, oh, I put this into my own nonprofit, then I give out of that. No, that's yours. That's good. Do that. But there is a worship, and it's called the church. And if it's not this church, find your church to do it in. And then give to all kinds of other ministries. Amen? So if you're sitting and go, well, I don't know if I can trust you, Pastor Mike, and you're a member of our church, you're trusting me with your soul, and you can't trust me with money? What? You're trusting me with your marriage, with your kids, with your future? I mean, are you kidding me? Once you hand this over and worship, it's done. It's his. Now, here's the thing. We have a team. We have tons of accountability in our church and transparency. And I'm glad for that. But again, these are all the things I know people think about. Why? Because you've told me. So we're addressing those things. We're addressing those thoughts, and we're taking them captive and making them obedient to Jesus. As we close up in Luke chapter 16, Jesus in verse 9, and he says, "And I say to you, make friends for yourself by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they will receive you into your everlasting home." Verse 10, "He who is faithful in what is least is also in much, And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you to trust true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what another man's, who will give you what is your own? Verse 13, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Verse 9, I want to just take a stab at this for a moment. You read that and you go, what is it? I remember the first time I was reading that, or maybe the first few times I've read that, I'm like, is God saying, like, buy my friends? No. What he's saying is, this unrighteous mammon can be purified, and you can use this for good. Do you know how many people God has allowed me to lead to Jesus because of what one of these can buy called pizza? I've probably prayed with over 1,000 people to accept Christ because I was able to purchase pizza. That people would come because pizza was being served and they'd listen to me tell them about Jesus. See, church, when we give, it allows us to go. To go throughout the valley, to go and build out another beautiful place to worship where we can touch people right in their neighborhoods. It allows us to go to Mexico to tell people about Jesus, to Costa Rica, to Israel. Remember hearing a story of a pastor who he left $100 tip for a $50 bill years ago. As the Lord led him, said, put $100 down, and he put $100 down and a Christian track, a track where it shared the gospel. Okay, it was a little pamphlet that shared the gospel with a $100 tip. Don't leave a track with a crummy tip. Amen. That tip opened her eyes, and you feel the joy and the, oh, wow, this is amazing. And then she opened the track, she read it. At the end, she prayed to receive Jesus. Then she called her husband and read the track to her husband. And her husband, in prison, accepted Jesus. That waitress went to church, and when her husband got out, he got baptized in that pastor's church who laid that $100 tip. This is what Jesus means with this unrighteous mammon. Use it. Use it. And when you use it for good, he'll give you more. There'll be no lack. The righteous will not beg for bread. This is a promise of God. The joy of giving. The joy of being free. Amen? This is the promise. So who is going to win this fight? Are you going to be a master to this? Or is it going to be a servant of yours? The choice is yours. You can't serve both God and money. Let's pray.
Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you're for us. We thank you that you said you'll meet every one of our needs according to your riches and glory in Christ. As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord, as your Savior, but you want to, we want to give you an opportunity to pray, to make Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life. He wants to forgive you. He wants to give you a new heart. He wants to set you free. He said, if you receive him, if you accept him, that he'll never leave you or forsake you. This is the promise. The promise that he'll meet every one of your needs, your needs. Not all of your greeds, but your needs. He promised he'll do that. And I know it to be true. And he offers that to you today. For those that are watching, he's offering that to you today. He's offering you eternal life. He's offering you an abundant life. A life in which you'll never have to live another minute without him. And his comfort and his peace and his provision. You'll have access to all of his promises. So if you need that today, you want that today, would you lift up your hand? Because I want to pray with you today. Say, Jesus, yes, I want you. Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. As our heads continue to be bowed and eyes closed, I want to ask, if you feel like you think about money too much, it consumes you, or it even has a bit of a hold on you, or you worry about it. Today, would you surrender your possessions? Would you surrender your money to Jesus? Would you say, Jesus, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to put you first, and I'm going to give what you want me to give to you first, and then I'm going to trust you with the rest. If that's you today, would you lift up your hands? I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. Come on. Yes. Yes. Chains. Chains are falling. Chains are being broken. Freedom is coming. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Church, pray this. Say, Jesus, I surrender to you. I give you my heart. I give you my mind. I give you my life because you gave me your life. I surrender to you and I receive your love. I receive your forgiveness. I receive your freedom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Bethel Church. If you'd like to connect with us, download our app using the keywords Bethel Chandler or visit us online at BethelChandler.com.